riding on the clouds.
This magician had got this job. He was very excited about it, and because there were he was doing the show again and again, different weeks for different groups that were coming on the cruise ship, he was able to perform the same tricks week after week. Now, the captain had a parrot, and the captain's parrot was watching the show every week. It was in the corner of the room where the show took place. And week by week, the parrot was watching these tricks that the magician was doing, and he began to work it out. He began to work out some of the tricks and what was happening. So he began to call out things like, after a while, he was calling out things like, "It's a different hat," or "The flowers are under the table." And the magician's like, "Shut up, will you?" And then he'd be calling out, "All the cards are the ace of spades." And this kind of went on. The magician was getting really fed up with it. Well, one day, the ship had a big accident. It went down and sank. And the magician ends up floating on a piece of wood. Guess who with? The parrot. Well, they stared at each other. And the first day went by. And they stared at each other and neither spoke a word. And the second day went by. And then they got to the third day. And the parrot looked at him and said, "Go on then, I give up. Where's the boat?" The magician was getting fed up with the negativity and the way that he was just trying to destroy everything the magician was trying to do. The parrot was trying to just pull it down. And the story that we're looking at today in the book of Nehemiah, because we're following a series in the book of Nehemiah, is all about that. I've entitled this one, "Ready to Face Opposition." Ready to face opposition. We're actually going to look at Nehemiah 4-7, but we're concentrating on chapter 4 particularly. And then I'll skip over the others quick, because I want us to learn what the Bible says. And when I skip over 5, 6, and 7, it's not because they're unimportant. It's really to whet your appetite for reading the Bible as well. Because part of what we do in this church is we want to teach the Bible. We want to get you reading the Bible for yourself and learning from it yourself. And so I'll give you a bit of an overview of some of the things and show you how much is in here. But I want you to be reading this for yourself each week. So next week, it's easy. Your homework for next week is chapter 8. It's just one chapter. But this week, we're looking at these four chapters. What's happened so far? Because last week we did chapter 1-3. Nehemiah has returned. The people have been taken into exile. They'd come back with Ezra and built the temple. We did that a few weeks ago. And then now Nehemiah's come back and they're coming back to build the walls around the city. And last week we were talking about the different bricks as people try and rebuild back again and what that kind of involves. And what that involves for us, what the bricks in our life might be as we're trying to put them together that protect us from the enemy a bit, but also kind of start to build up our faith again and keep us strong in God. So Nehemiah's come back, he's returned, he started to rebuild Jerusalem's wall, and we also learnt last week in chapter 2, verse 19, the opposition already began. Some of the people said, "Well, I'm not joining in with the building work, I'm not going to help with this." When we start to build, the enemy won't like it, and we will face opposition. That is going to happen, and we need to expect it. And be ready for it. When we're building the church, when we're building God's kingdom, when we're trying to grow in our faith in our lives, when we're trying to walk in God's way, in the way that is pleasing to Him, we will face opposition and need to be ready for it. And that's the message that comes through in these next four chapters. So we're going to start, we're going to actually read the whole of chapter 4. And then we'll just skip through 5, 6, and 7, okay? But I'm going to ask Paul Bakabinga if he will come up at this point and read Nehemiah chapter 4 for us. And I want you to listen to this story. And as this opposition starts, in fact, actually, Paul, if you just grab a seat a minute, I'll just explain what's going on in this first bit, and then we'll get you to read chapter 4. So far, what's happening as this chapter begins here, you'll see it in chapter 4, is there's outside opposition that comes at Nehemiah and the builders. There's some outside opposition. The first three verses kind of spell that out, you'll see in a minute. And the different things that are happening are, there's ridicule, the people outside of the Jews, the people in the surrounding areas are ridiculing what Nehemiah is doing. They're calling them things like feeble Jews, and they say, even a fox will come and break down these walls. It's rubbish, your building work. They plan to stir up trouble for them, and they plan to, and in the end, they decide, we're just going to attack them and kill them. So that was all brewing, and Nehemiah and his people that were trying to build the walls were aware that all this was happening. And then they also had some inside opposition that was starting. So that was from within his own ranks. This wasn't just people outside of the situation. This was people inside. So they started to be negative about it. They said, oh, we're getting really weak and tired. We can't do anymore. The task's too big for us. And then some of them said, the opponents, the people against us now are too great. There's too many of them, and they're coming against us. And they repeated it. It says, you'll read it in a minute, it says they said it 10 times over. They just kept saying, they're too big, the opposition's too big. They just kept repeating it. We can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it. We can't do it, we can't do it, we cannot do it, we cannot do it. And they did it 10 times. Just kept going on and on and on. Would it wear you down? Would it get you down? So what I want you to do now as Paul reads chapter 4 is look at, you'll hear all of what I was just talking about, but look at what was Nehemiah's response to this. How did he handle this opposition? Because every one of us faces opposition when we're trying to walk with God. The enemy doesn't like it, remember. Satan doesn't like it. And opposition can come from outside of the church, and sometimes it even comes from within, you know. So let's see what Nehemiah's response was. Thank you, Paul.
Nehemiah chapter 4. Opposition to the rebuilding. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they're building, even a fox climbing up on it would break it down, would break down their walls of stones. Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they've thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God, and we posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we'll be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the war, each to our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, "Have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night, so they can serve us as guards by night and as workers by day. Neither I, nor my brothers, nor my men, nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water."
Thank you, Paul. They'd be a bit smelly, wouldn't they? Not taking the clothes off for several days while they were doing this. But they went to great extremes to make sure. So come on, tell me, what was Nehemiah's response? Give me some things. I've listed three or four things, all beginning with P. So you get bonus points for getting my things. But you can tell me what you think. What was Nehemiah's response? Pray. Good one. Prayer. That was an easy one. You get the bonus for P. Prayer. He prayed. That's what he was doing. It is important to remember when we get opposition for rebuilding in our lives, when we are trying to, and so what I'm trying to do with this story is relate it to our lives as well. We're learning history here. We're learning about the Bible and these Bible stories and what's happening, but we're trying to apply it to our life today and say, what can we learn today from this? So when we are trying to build closer to God in our own lives, when we are trying to go about God's work and determine to live according to his will, it can be difficult at times when we face opposition. What do we need to do when that happens? When we are trying to build as a church and go forward as a church and be a good witness in this town and we get opposition, what do we need to do? And the answer is, first thing that Nehemiah did was pray. He turned to God in the situation. He actually shares his frustration at what's happening, but he turns to God and prays for help in the situation. You know, it isn't any good. Later on, we see in the next chapter, Nehemiah gets a bit angry with them as well. But he always is turning it to prayer. You know, it's no good getting angry and shouting at it or trying to argue with the opposition like that way. No, that shouldn't be the first thing we do. It's turn the thing to God in prayer. So he thinks on it later on as well. He kind of mulled these things through in his mind and so on first. So prayer. Okay, so we've got that one. What else? He persevered. He certainly persevered. Good. Yeah, he kept going. So that's good, yeah. That's not one of my P's. It's a good one, though, whoever said it. Yeah? Place. Tell me place. Tell me a bit more about place. He brought them together in one place. Okay, so what I've got for this, that's good, and it ties in exactly with this, because there was two things he did that I've got beginning with P. One is he planned. He planned what he was going to do to try and prevent the opposition overthrowing them, yes? And the second thing he did was something practical. See, he wasn't just praying, he did something practical as well about it, and he put them brought people together in a particular place. So all those P's work, don't they? So he planned and he did something practical about it as well to try and help not let that opposition overpower him. What could that mean for us in our situations? Well, do you know, as you can think of these things yourself, but just to give some ideas, sometimes I think it's good to think, if I'm being, let's say someone, I'm thinking of pastoral situations that you know, we might find, I might deal with, you might be involved in, you know. If someone's coming and they're saying, I'm tempted by something. I'm tempted to do something sometimes that the enemy's getting me, go on, do that again, you know, and I know that it's wrong. I know it wouldn't be God's will. What can I do? Well, first of all, you can plan for when you are in that situation, how you're going to handle it. You can think ahead. What am I going to say if that happens? What am I going to do if that happens? Be ready for it. Be aware of our weakness and be aware that when that opposition comes, which it will, you know, how am I going to handle that? Secondly, something practical we can do as well is set up accountable relationships. So someone several times I've had people come to me and say, I'm struggling with this particular issue. I'm kind of tempted to do this. Let's say, for argument's sake, it is. I'm tempted to go and get drunk again because I often get drunk. Or I'm tempted to do pornography. Or I'm tempted to, in this relationship that I know I shouldn't be involved in, an adulterous relationship or a sexual relationship that I know is not right. I'm tempted in this. It can be several things. So when you're in that situation, plan what you're going to do when you're tempted and you're faced with that. How are you going to handle that? What are you going to do instead? And one of the practical steps you could take, for example, is put yourself in an accountable relationship. So I've said to people in these kind of situations, right, pick up the phone and ring me when you are in that situation. Okay, just give me a call. As soon as you are thinking that and feeling that, determine in your mind that when you feel that, you're going to pick up the phone and ring me. And I've said to people, do it day or night. Because sometimes some of this stuff happens at night, doesn't it? And you know, people have done that. People have done that, and we've been able to talk about it and how they're feeling, and we've been able to deal with the situation. And they've gone away, and the next, later on, they've been able to come back and say, thank you so much for that, because I knew I was on the edge, and just having that conversation, just knowing I had to make that call, stopped me from going too far in that. I didn't go down there, and I'm so glad I didn't. Now, will it work every time? Maybe, maybe not. But it's one way of thinking ahead, planning ahead. You know, prayer, ask God for the strength, do something about it. Plan what you're going to do when you're in those situations as you're trying to rebuild. And that's just dealing with a kind of a moral type of issue. But this can go for anything in our life. Think about different things that might pull you away from God. What about your prayer life? You know, when other things get in the way, you determine, I'm going to start to have a regular time with God in prayer. But then something's getting in the way of that. How are you going to deal with that when that happens? What are you going to do to ensure it still happens? Because you will feel too tired at that time. The enemy won't want you to do it. Other things will press in. So think about these. This is what he was doing. What else? Give me one more thing. Trust, we've got. What was over here? Purification. Okay, purification. Tell me purification, how? Okay, looking at the rubble in our lives. You're talking about the rubble bit, yeah. So purifying ourselves because of the rubble in our lives. Okay, I like what you did there. Very good, yeah. I haven't got that down, that's good. Yeah, so getting rid of the rubble, moving the rubble to one side so you've got the firm building. They're good as well. Trust is good as well. Was there something else? Protection. Okay, protection. Yeah, trying to bring protection. So that's other people around you as well to help protect you. It could be, yeah. You thinking of anything else? Or? Yeah, I'm not going to encourage people to carry swords around the enemies, you know. Don't do that. Protecting ourselves, yeah, and the other thing that he did, which I think is great, is he was really positive. Someone said before that he carried on, he persevered, you know. He didn't let it stop him building for God, did he? He didn't let it stop him. When the opposition came and they were saying 10 times, "Don't, we can't do it, we can't do it." He didn't say, "Okay, just all right, let's lay tools down then. We got halfway there. We built half the wall up. We did a good job. You know, it's getting too difficult now. Let's just leave it. We need to save ourselves. Let's walk away." He didn't do that. He did persevere. He did persist. And he was positive and encouraging. And verse 14, he said to them in verse 14, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome." He was encouraging and being positive. The overall result of all of this opposition that came upon him was that he didn't give up. He kept going. But you know what? He probably slowed the work down. It probably slowed the work down that they were doing, because half of them now had to watch as guards in the full armor, the full gear. They had to kind of watch out for the enemy coming. And the other half, a lot of them who were carrying materials and so on, had to work with like one hand behind the back, so to speak, because they had to have a weapon in one hand ready, and then they were carrying the materials in the other hand like this, you know? Well, I don't know if it was exactly like that, but it was, you know, they were carrying the materials in the other hand over there. But that was going to restrict the work, wasn't it? That was going to slow it down. They did finish it in the end, but it could have been a lot quicker if they hadn't had so much opposition. People need encouragement, not criticism. Let's remember that, because that's something else we can all take away from this, isn't it? People need encouragement, not criticism. People don't need to know what they're doing wrong at the moment. They need to be encouraged in what they're doing right. Yeah, now sometimes it's right to kind of, you know, talk to people about things that are going wrong, but let's make sure we do it in the right way. We'll come back to that in a little while. Everyone stayed dressed and stayed inside Jerusalem to help with the nighttime guard duty. So they all were doing that as well. So they probably got tired, but they had this plan. They spread out around the wall, and he said, "If you hear the trumpet blast, all unite together in this one place." Do you know what I think about as the church? I think about the church as the rallying place. It's where we come together. It's where we rally together in Jesus' name to encourage each other and to say, "Yay, we're going to keep building. Yay, we're going to keep going strong. We are not going to give up." Because sometimes we're out there and we're on our own and we're trying to do our thing in our workplace or our neighborhood or you know, in school for kids, aren't we? And you're the only child in the class that loves Jesus, you know, when you're trying to do it. Or you're the only person in a particular country that's trying to talk about Jesus, you know, and be a Christian there. And it seems like you're on your own. But when you come back together, you remember, yay, we're in this together. Let's celebrate our faith together. Let's celebrate our great God together. Let's encourage one another and build each other up, ready to go out again. This is our trumpet call. Yeah? Good. My favorite verse in Nehemiah is where Nehemiah encourages the my favorite verse in Nehemiah chapter 4 is where Nehemiah is encouraging the Jews who are facing opposition. So my favorite verse in this chapter, the one I just read, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome." And I think this week's talk, what we're talking about today, comes at a really good time, because last week we were talking about building back, and we're coming back from COVID. Aren't we? We were coming back from COVID. We were starting to grow numbers again in the church. We were up to about half of us here at the moment, you know, back again. We got some still on Zoom and YouTube and that, but half of us are back physically. We're talking about being excited. We've just had a leadership 24 hours away, leadership day, and we were all excited coming back again about building back again and getting people involved again. And then this week, we've seen the numbers going up again, haven't we? The numbers are going up, and they're saying the government should be saying we've all got to go back home again and not meet together again and all that kind of thing. And the government's trying to make their mind up whether to make it mandatory or not. You know, and it can seem like, oh no, we're just building back, and then the restrictions are coming back in again. And it's like that. Just, it's not opposition, but it's kind of just, it's hindering it again. We don't want to go through that again. It can seem like that. But I want to encourage you today. Don't be afraid of it. Just remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Let's do what we can to help in the situation. And I'm going to do something right now that I have not done throughout COVID so far. And I always try and remain unpolitical. And don't get involved in anything controversial to do with what's going on out there, because I know there are many different views and all this stuff. But what I'm going to say today is this. I've not said it so far, but I want to encourage you, if you are not vaccinated, get vaccinated. I want to encourage you in that. If you have strong reasons why not, and you want to come and talk to me about it, I'm open to that, you know. This is not God speaking to you. This is me as a pastor of a church that is trying to get everyone to be able to be, you know, keep the country going like everyone else. And just people are scared of people that aren't getting vaccinated. And even if it isn't our preference, I would say there's nothing wrong with getting vaccinated. It's only a positive thing and will help us as a country, help the world at the moment to move forward. So if you don't agree with that, you are entitled to your opinion. But I want to encourage you as a pastor, get the vaccinations. Let's help each other and help the country kind of moving forward in this, you know. And I also want to say, you know, I'm going to wear a mask when I'm walking around there afterwards again with you guys downstairs. I was wearing a mask up here as well just for singing today as well. It's not enforceable at the moment, and we're not telling you you have to do. So I don't want people to feel bad if they don't and like, oh, I'm being selfish or anything. I don't want you to feel that way. We may have to bring it in mandatory soon. But I just want to kind of say, you know, I just think let's try and be safe. We just need to be aware and cautious. You know, let's take precautions. Let's take some steps to help in this. It'll slow us down a bit, which isn't great, like they were slowed down. But we're still going to keep building, okay? Whatever happens, even if we all end up on Zoom again and we can't even meet physically, we're still going to keep building. So be encouraged. Right, okay, that's chapter 4. Now we're going to zoom through chapter 5, 6, and 7. Are you ready? Let's go. Chapter 5, more inside trouble. In chapter 5, they had inside squabbles. Basically, this was the people, the Jews themselves, the people of Judah and the Jews were squabbling again. And they were saying basically that some of the Jews had been put in heavy debt by other Jews. Some of them were serving, being servants or slaves even for one another to pay debts to each other. And it just wasn't good. And they complained to Nehemiah. They said, this isn't right that we're doing this with each other. And Nehemiah got a bit angry about it. He wasn't happy that they were treating each other that way. That some of them were just trying to make money off the other ones and trying to, you know, treat them like slaves, the other ones, when they're all meant to be in the same party. They're all meant to be working together. So Nehemiah ponders it all. And then he tells them, basically, he says, sort it out. Sort it out, guys. Stop it. Help each other out. Stop this rubbish. That's what all Nehemiah chapter 5 is about, and help each other. My favorite verse from this chapter is when Nehemiah challenges the Jews who are squabbling with each other. And it says in verse 8, and they kept quiet because they could find nothing to say. I love that. He said, what are you playing at, you lot? And he tells them off, yeah, you're right, sorry. Okay, we'll do something about it. And they sort it out. Let's stop internal squabbles. You know, it doesn't help. So there's none I'm aware of at the moment, by the way. I don't think we are a squabbly church, really. But let's continue that way. Let's not squabble. You know, internal fighting and doesn't help anyone. And thank goodness I'm not aware of it in this church, in any degree really at all. So I'm really, you know, grateful for that. But I have known it at times in churches, and I'm sure you are aware of it too. And I'm sure it happens from time to time. But let's not do that. It doesn't help us in our building. Right, chapter 6. Chapter 6. More outside trouble. So this was trouble from outside of the Jews, and. And what's happening? Well, they tried distracting Nehemiah away from the work. And they start some rumors. They start some rumors about him. Oh, Nehemiah, that's what it says. And then they tried blackmailing him. You need to do this or this. If you don't stop, then this is going to happen. And they use his friends to try and get at him and discredit him. And then they betray him. They try and betray him and intimidate him. And all these words are in here in chapter 6. These are all the ways they were trying to get at Nehemiah. Horrible, isn't it? What they're trying to do to him. So what's Nehemiah's response this time? Nehemiah's response was, he just got on with it. He just kind of like, whatever, I've taken my precautions now, I've got my plan, I know what I'm doing. I knew this opposition was going to come. I knew I was going to get opposition from outside. You know, people out there in the world don't get God's kingdom. How can they? They're not part of it. They don't understand it. They don't even believe in God. They don't understand the things of God. So they don't understand the moral standards we're trying to live by. They don't understand the fact that we believe Jesus is the only way, not all the other ways that the world says there are. They don't understand that we have faith in a God when they can't see a God. They don't understand that. So they're gonna just think it's crazy. They're gonna be opposition to us in what we're standing for and what we're believing in and what we're doing. They're gonna try and throw their values at us on the church and put them on us and impose them on us. And we're not gonna give in to it. Because we're living in Jesus' way. We're living by his way. We're living under his kingdom, aren't we? I hope so. And so we stand strong and we keep building forward. And Nehemiah did, and what happened? He got on with it and he finished the wall in 52 days. That's good going, isn't it? Good going. 52 days, they finished the whole wall. And everyone realizes this can't be done by man alone. God is in this. God is working with them. God has helped them. And now their enemies are disheartened. Their enemies are disheartened. So, chapter 7. Oh, no, let's do the favorite verse in chapter 8, first of all. My favorite verse in chapter 8, Nehemiah responds to the enemies who are trying to blackmail him. And he says, they're trying to say things about him and rumors and stuff like that. And he says to him, I love this verse. Nothing like what you were saying is happening. You were just making it up out of your head. It's great. That's in there. Smashing verse, isn't it? Nothing like what you say is happening. You're just making it up out of your head. Chapter 7, they come together as one. The city's massive. They've built it, they've put the wall around it, but now there's too few people in it. There's not enough people living in the city. So Nehemiah says, we've got to get more people in here. We want more people in the kingdom. Do we want more people in the kingdom? Amen, we do want more people in the kingdom. So he says, we need more people in here. So what does he do? He gets a good leadership team. It says he appoints leaders. And he checks the records, and then he goes out there and he gets the people in. And chapter 7, he's almost like, it's basically a list of people who he gets to come in there. He checks records about who was there before and who should be there again. And he goes out and he gets them and he brings them in. And there's more of them than there was before, because some of them are children and children and children. So he gets them all, the families, and he brings them back. And it's almost, Nehemiah chapter 7 is almost identical to Ezra chapter 2. You can have a look at that when you get home, okay? Ezra chapter 2, Nehemiah chapter 7, almost identical chapters, word for word, most of it, a lot of it. And that's what it is, this list of all the people who returned in. My favorite verse in chapter 7, Nehemiah puts a particular man in charge of Jerusalem. Why does he pick this man to be in charge? It was because he was a man of integrity and he feared God more than most people do. I would love it if you said that about me. Who would like that said about him? All the guys in the room, would you like it if people said that about you? Right, take the word man out of there and put a woman in there. Ladies, you like that? Let's go for it. Let's seek to be. We don't have to be the best, but let's seek to be the best that we can be for God. People of integrity with real heart and passion for Jesus. Love that verse. So, conclusion. The opposition didn't come till they started building. Does that make sense? The opposition didn't come till they started building, and the devil didn't like it. We can expect opposition if we're going about God's work and doing his will in our life, and we can expect opposition if we're trying to do things as a church and move forward. We can expect opposition. We need to be ready for it. Second, the opposition didn't just come from unbelievers. It comes from outside the church, but sometimes it comes from within. How does it come from within in our church or in any church situation? You know, sometimes when opposition comes and criticism comes, it can be warranted. Because Christians sometimes get it wrong too. And we need kind of picking up on that sometimes. It's important to evaluate criticism if someone's critiquing you, if someone's saying you've got something wrong or you're doing something wrong, it's important to evaluate the criticism because some of it may be valid. I think the way to do that best is to pray, is to seek God and ask God about it. God, what do you think? Okay, don't react to them. Pray and ask God, what do you think? And secondly, look at his word. What does the Bible say about this? And then respond accordingly, you know? But we've got to be careful with this stuff because I'll tell you what, let's have a look at some of these things. Here's a few quotes. Don't criticize too quickly. Even a clock that doesn't work is right twice a day. Criticism like rain should be gentle enough to nourish one's growth without destroying their roots. Some people find fault as if it were buried treasure. Not good people. You know, don't be looking for it in other people. Nothing gives you more in common more quickly than finding out you dislike the same person. Is that right? So let's be careful with criticism. Make sure it's wholesome, make sure it's done the right way, and so on. If we've got to criticize it, if something is wrong, let's do it in the right way and right attitude. Because criticism is opposition from within. It just pulls people down and hinders the work of the individual's life and the work of the church and its witness. Finally, in conclusion, the opposition didn't stop God's work going ahead. Adjustments had to be made a bit, but the work went on. And we need to pray for and encourage one another and work together and have our rallying point, the church, keep coming back. Don't give up on God's church and try and do Christianity on your own. It doesn't work. It was never intended to be done that way. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? No. Is it good to go to church when you're a Christian? Absolutely. Does God want you to be part of a fellowship, a church family? Absolutely. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, Paul says in Scripture. It's the rallying point. It's where we come together to encourage, to do, and to be a witness together. By our love for one another, all people will know that we're his disciples. And remember this. When everything seems to be going against you, remember this, an aircraft takes off against the wind, not with it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the witness of Nehemiah, the way he dealt with opposition, the things we can learn from it today. May we be strong in you. And as we continue this series, may we continue to build in our own life. Draw closer to you, Jesus, individually. Continue to put the bricks in place, being ready for the opposition. It will come for that, but help us to build strong. Help us to do that as a church as well. And Lord, we do it all for your kingdom and your glory. Amen. Amen.